Raka Vadege Verekida, Zadila Barianda Frekte Varadabos, Telele Sabaria Kaba. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. I don't want your hunger to lure me. You know, Papa taught me some time ago. He said the teachings, the truths that are communicated are the tools the Holy Ghost used to build men. He says, so it's not all the time you release fire. Sometimes give them tools so they can be built up. And he says, if you give the right tools, when you are done, the Holy Ghost will bear witness to it. Because a star doesn't struggle to shine. It's his nature to shine. So take time to build the people. And when you are done, allow God to do his thing. Hallelujah. So we began our discussion from a standpoint of establishing the government and the dominion of God on the face of the earth. As one of the greatest burden in the heart of God. God is spirit. And by reason of his nature, he is invincible. But he has predestined, according to the counsel of his will, that his nature, his essence, his will, his laws, his counsels will be erected as structures in the visible realm, so that a people in the order of the visible, even though not living in the visible realm, will know him and will live like citizens of his realm, so that he can have fellowship and fraternity with them. And the natural realm will become an extension of the supernatural realm. So when you want to see the extent to which the memory of a spirit is preserved, is by looking at the systems and the culture of the people. The worship and the memory of a spirit trapped in a people is revealed by the systems they build. The systems they build are revelation of the spirit that their allegiances are paid to. If you look upon a man, the life of that man, the ways of that man, his philosophies and ideologies are revelations of the spirit that rules him. So the visible realm is a theater that manifests the dimensions of the invincible. And I said, for that to be achieved, we must come into fellowship and fraternity with the spirit whose dimension we intend to mirror in the natural. Because there are things that cannot be taught. There are things that cannot be communicated. They can only be experienced. And God is one of such things that is too bogus to be communicated cognitively. That's why he helps us with an anointing. Because he knows that words are deficient in communicating realities that are immortal. Words are deficient in communicating dimensions that are immortal. Immortal in the sense that they are without corruption. So it will be hard to capture immortal things with words. So a spirit will need to help you with essence that flow from within himself. That's why God enables us by an anointing. For example, if I have an experience, no matter how I tell you what that experience is, you don't have the same experience. Unless there is another agency that is able to transport that experience to you. That's what the anointing does. I can tell you I had Not to be negative. But I can tell you, for instance, that I was robbed and my phone was taken. All you will hear is that my phone was taken. The fear that gripped me in the time of the robbery, you can't experience it. So even when you cry for me, you lost your iPhone. Don't worry, God will provide another one. It's beyond the phone. Because when the incident took place, maybe all my nerves almost collapsed. And I may need a medical personnel to help me for some weeks to recover before I think of the phone. But you will think only of the phone. The only way I'll be able to bring the experience of that incident to you is if I'm helped by a spirit to bring the environment of that happening to you. And when that environment comes, you will not hear a story. You will also experience it. Because what will happen to you is that the same fear that I felt, you will feel it. So the idea of koinonia is to bring you into participation and partnership with God to a point where the burdens of God becomes your burdens. The essence of God becomes your essence. The ways of God becomes your ways. The thoughts of God becomes your thought. So when you come back to your realm, it is natural for you to establish things that are consistent to the sequences and the vibrations that come from the realm of God. Because you think like God, you feel like God, you act like God. It's when God finds a man like that, that what was in his heart can be mirrored in the natural. And that was the idea God began to institute when he planted the Garden of Eden. He was letting the man know that the earth was not designed to remain the way it is. I want the earth to become like the heavens. I want everything in the visible realm to be consistent with the invisible realm. So in order for you to understand what I mean, I brought a garden that is of heaven, because Eden did not begin from earth. Eden was downloaded from heaven. In Ezekiel chapter 28, from verse 13 to verse 17, when he was talking to us about the first prince that was the governor of the earth that existed before man, he told us that one of the things that prince does was that he came into fellowship with God in Eden, the mountain of God. So Eden did not begin when earth was created. Eden predated earth. Eden existed in the mountain of God. But in order for the man to understand the nature of his assignment on earth, God decided to plant Eden. So as he sees Eden, he will know what to do with the other parts of the earth. So he says to dress the garden and to keep it. And when he said dress the garden, it was actually priesthood, in order to connect the earth to the heaven, so much so that the energy of heaven will download into the earth. And when he says to keep it, his kingdom assignment, dominate the other parts of the earth and make it become like that which came from heaven. That was the assignment of man, to create an environment that will facilitate and fast track the process of koinonia. So when God created Eden, the Bible said in Genesis 3:8 that the voice of God came walking in the garden. Where it came from and where it exists is not captured, because Eden is part of heaven. Eden is a visible part of heaven. So God had the liberty to stroll into Eden and to stroll out. You wouldn't know when it happens, because when he said in the cool of the day, it means the moment of the spirit. It was not a time, it was a moment when God extended his presence into the place, so much so that the man can fraternize with him. So the idea of creation is to bring another realm where God can dwell comfortably. And the way to achieve it is koinonia. But the devil understood it, so he came and truncated the process. And when he truncated the process, man could no longer tarry there, and Eden vanished, because Eden was downloaded. The gatekeeper had been removed, so the system had to vanish. And when Eden vanished from the earth, man was separated from God, and man entered into another fraternity. Another spirit began to rule him. So everything that was created in that season was a revelation of the nature of that spirit. That which was in the heart of that spirit that seduced the man became what dominated the visible creation, instead of Eden that God planted to have been the revelation of the visible creation. The visible creation became an offshoot of the nature of the spirit that seduced the man, because the man had entered into another fellowship. So Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father shall ye do. You can no longer access Zion to download patterns that are consistent with the will of God. So what you do now, it will be natural for the devil to alight upon it. So if the devil wants to visit a family, he doesn't need to knock. It was built to host his dimension. Because if you enter that family, you will find quarrel, you will find lies, you will find cheating, you will find all kinds of evil. So all of these are portals that makes allowance and allocation for the devil to alight comfortably in that family. So no matter how many deliverance services you organize in that family, he will come again. The gates are porous. If it were Eden, it would have been difficult. So the law God gave to the man was not to keep him in captivity. The law was actually the key that preserved the integrity of the garden. But the moment that law was destroyed, the devil had access. Eden was supposed to be separated and secluded from the princes of this world. If the man had kept the integrity of Eden, lies would have been alien. You wouldn't have known about it. Fear would have been alien. All forms of evil would have been alien, because the princes existed, but they would not have been able to infiltrate the garden. And if they don't infiltrate the garden, they can't download their dimensions. The only dimensions you will see in Eden are the same dimensions that are obtainable in Zion, because Eden would have become an expression of the will of God. The life of God powers it. The presence of God powers it. But by seduction, the devil dragged the man into another form of communion, and that man began to download the nature of that spirit. But with God, his will must come to pass. So there was a way God decided to puncture back into the corrupt world in order to create another design. Because the first time he created the garden, the world was already damaged. It's like entering an ocean with an air ball or a balloon, so to say, and you are in the balloon. The balloon will float on the water. So long as the water doesn't enter the balloon, you will breathe oxygen until you puncture the balloon. Right? That was what God did when he began creation. Because in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said God created the heavens and the earth. And he stopped. And he said, and the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, judgment was passed on the earth, because the first earth had been destroyed. So what God came back to do was to recreate the destroyed earth. And the way to do it was to download heaven into earth. So the integrity of what God downloads will be kept. And then from there, God begins to reconstruct the visible realm. He said, let there be light. And Paul told us the light God created didn't come from heaven. He called it out of darkness. He said, let the dry ground appear. He began to recreate the earth that was already destroyed. The same way, after Adam fell, God now had another intention to bring another kind of Eden, to create another possibility that is not corrupt and infiltrated by the old earth. Of course, the one Adam had sabotaged. And the way to do it was to seduce another man to come out of what was in existence. And he said to Abraham, come out from your country. Your country is run by another philosophy. Another spirit is the governor of what you live by. They say, come out of it. Because Abraham was the grandson of Nahor. And Nahor was one of the princes of Nimrod that built the Tower of Babel. They had mastered the visible realm. So there was nothing else in the world that appealed to them. They had studied all kinds of wisdom. So they wanted to go to the cloud and find out what exists there. But you can't take corruption into perfection. That which is incorruptible. You can't journey from corruption into that. You can't carry corruption there. It is alien to it. So God came and divided their language. So the way to bring back heaven to earth was to separate somebody from the earth that has already been compromised by the nature of the spirits of this world. He said, come out of your country. Come out of your kindred. Come out of your family to the land that I will show you. And then I will bless you. And I said, that calling that God gives to a man is what we call the drawings of his spirit. Every spirit that wants to get your attention will seduce you, because they know that their language may be alien to you. If you were giving to immorality, for example, and we come and say purity is the way of the kingdom, the first thing you will start thinking is, how is it possible to be pure? And then when somebody talks about purity, you will think, What he's trying to say is that God is helping him. That language is alien to you. In fact, if somebody comes and says, I'm a virgin, either you think the person is lying, or you assume the person is not informed. Because the language of where we live now is normal to live for the way you want. And when you finish, come back and cry, God will forgive you. And then you keep on. You don't know that there's another realm. There's a language. So when the Spirit comes, he won't begin with language. Because if he begins to talk to you, his standards will be too high. If God comes, for example, and begins to talk from his realm, you can't interact with him. So the first thing the Spirit will do is that he will go back to the potters in your soul that the devil have taken over, and he will begin to seduce you. You are somebody that likes elegance. He will show you elegance in the kingdom. You are somebody that likes to rap, or you like to show your chef. The moment you come into the kingdom, after 1 week, they'll say, come to the altar, lead the way. Okay, I can lead some. So you now start coming because you want to sing, because you like to show yourself. The Spirit is trying to seduce you. Meanwhile, when he's done seducing you, he may now send you to become an intercessor. So you will not appear on the altar again. So he's what the Spirit will do is to seduce you. He knows the things that the devil have perverted in your life. He will go back to those gates and bring superior wisdom. And as he begins to do that, something in your life, your spirit will come alive. And then you begin to approach that spirit as he draws you. Why he's drawing you is because he wants to separate you from this civilization so that you can come into another economy where he can equip you sufficiently to go back to the civilization that corrupts you and establish an ark that can save another generation. But you can't build the ark because the patterns, the dimensions of the ark are not on earth. Human intelligence and architecture cannot create that ark. The dimensions of the ark are in the heavens. But for you to be equipped to build that ark, the Spirit will seduce you back to Zion. And that those years of seduction may be long. Because sometimes distraction will hold you to one spot. And the Spirit will battle with distraction for 1 year. And when it's done with distraction, seduction will hold you down for another 5 years. But the Spirit is not in a hurry, because where he lives, there's no time. He's called the Ancient of Days. If you refuse to cooperate with the Spirit, you are the one wasting. If that Spirit decides that what he wants to do is with the Kusi generation, you who didn't submit will be out. But what that Spirit wants to achieve will happen, because it's functioning from above time. You are functioning within time. So even if you fail, somebody else will come with your DNA. Another one will come with your DNA. As far as the Spirit is concerned, he's dealing with Kusi. Because Kusi is not a man, he's a people. The day the Spirit is able to seduce you, that day your journey into participating with the divine is activated. And then the Spirit shows you a dimension. Because when you enter into God, you discover there are many dimensions. The angelic realm reveals to us the multifaceted dimensions of God. So when Michael shows up, you see the strength of God. And if you see Michael, you think God is all about power. Until Gabriel shows up. And then when Gabriel talks, he uncovers mysteries that were locked for many generations. And then you now discover there's a dimension called wisdom. And there are many of such dimensions. There are angels that appear as light. There are those that appear as flames of fire. All of these things are locked there. When you come, the Spirit opens his oracles to you. And then he tells you your inheritance is this dimension. Take it and go and build it on earth, so that the sons of men can be discipled after this order. So when the Spirit comes, he said, his glory will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. So if you come to a nation, you now see different tributaries of that Spirit. So the nation from a high pedestal becomes the display of the possibilities that are locked up in that Spirit. So if you look upon Israel, for example, it's a display of the multifaceted dimensions of God. So when Issachar shows up, he begins to talk about mysteries that only spirits understand. He tells you, don't go this way tomorrow, go like this. And then you are saying, no, the road is here. He said, no, there's no road here. You are seeing the road, but Issachar is seen from another plane. And when you wake up in the morning, a log of wood have blocked this road. So if you were wise, you would have traveled in this direction. So when you look at that, that is a dimension of that spirit. It was an architectural work that a man who entered into God pioneered. So the reason a spirit seduces you is to bring you to a place where you can pioneer his ways. You can pioneer his life. You can pioneer his wisdom so that a generation can be formed after that order. That is the first thing the spirit desires of you, to be wooed to him. Because if you receive intelligence from another spirit, it will become corruption. And in order to ensure that you will do that thing for a long time, the spirit will give you laws. Those laws are your consecration requirement of perfecting the will of that spirit. So sometimes a spirit wants you to become a prophet, and then it brings you a body for 1 year. He said, pray in the night. Meanwhile, that pray in the night for 1 year is so that you can hit a prayer quota of 10,000 hours before you break into the energy level of the prophetic. So your 1 year can become 10 years, because the 10,000 prayer quota, you may deliver it for 1 year, and you may choose to deliver it for 10 years. So every week you wake up, you say, Kai, oh boy, I'm tired this night. You know, it's what? You have increased your wilderness days. Ah, my brother, no, I'll continue next week. Or you now wake up, you see a pretty lady, you now follow her for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, you go for dinner with her, and then you come back after 4 months. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you think you are outsmarting God. That you, I'm sorry, he will forgive you. But the problem is that there is 10,000 hours that must be covered. So if you are wise, when you look upon the damsel, you now go back to that spirit and say, help my eyes. My eyes. These eyes wants to rob me of my destiny and possibility. Help my eyes. And like Job, you will not look upon the damsel, because it is taking the time for you to enter into possibilities that are locked up beyond time. They are sacred things that only mortals touch. And for you to get there, you must be re-engineered. And what that spirit wants to achieve is to re-engineer you to a point where when men look upon you, you become like the very brightness of the God that is unseen. So he burdens you with consecration requirement. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, it's like a sin to eat food. It's not a sin to eat in the morning, but for you, it's a sin. Because you are journeying on a path. There's a mystery that is locked up in Zion that only your generation should look upon it. And many are traveling on that path. The spirit will keep seducing you because there are certain things that are calculated into divine calendars. And God desires that your generation should look upon it. So he begins to seduce you. When he discovers that you are walking slow, he now says, add fasting. When he discovers that your movement is slow, he says, add night prayer. Sometimes he discovers that your soul is still attached to things. He now begins to give you laws. He says, give out all your money. Give out your good clothes. And you are struggling. Meanwhile, it's because of clothes the other time that you had to take up a job to boost your wardrobe. So instead of wasting that time, now say, give out clothes. Give out your clothes. When you discover every good clothes you have, it tells you to give it out. You stop laboring to buy. Empowerment doesn't begin with impartation. I'm telling you why some of you who are supposed to become voices in Ghana have not yet been heard. The prophet told you 5 years ago that when you are 22, they will begin to hear you. Now you are 27. Instead of you to check your life, you are going back to find out, is this prophet a true prophet? The problem is not with the prophet. The problem is with your dealings. You are violating your consecration requirement. And so long as you violate it, the time will be long. May God help you to keep the demands. So that you don't grow old and your record will be that I gave my life to Christ 40 years ago. 40 years ago doesn't count in Zion. get thee out of thy country. And I say, when men come out, then the Spirit gives them a dimension. That is what encounters does. Encounters are to bring you into the dimensions that you are supposed to pioneer as an order. You know, I said something yesterday. I told you that nations are not necessarily countries. And if you study Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, you see it. He said, get thee out of thy country to the land that I will show you. The word land and the word country are the same. But when it came to nation, he said, I will make of thee. He didn't say, I will make with thee. He didn't say, I will make by thee. He said, I will make of. Because what you see, you have become. And that thing is what will be pioneered as a nation. So what will come out of that, everybody that connects to it becomes that which they have seen. I will make of this. So there are nations in countries. There are dealings of God that are territorial. There are dealings of God that are tied to countries. There is what God wants to do with Ghana as a people. But in Ghana, there are nations. Nations that are consistent to different orders in the spirit. Because if you look at the life of Abraham, many nations came out of Abraham. The Bible spoke of Reuel. Reuel is one of the sons of the Midianite, of Keturah. They became the Midianites. They had also learned the ways of God. So when Moses carried Israel out of Egypt, it was Reuel that began to teach Moses the way of priesthood. It was Reuel that told Moses that in Horeb, there is the spirit of Elohim. Because Moses you don't graze pasture at the backside of the desert. But the man was a priest. He knew the ways of God. So he told Moses, because the word Reuel means the friend of God. The man is a friend. You know, Genesis 18:19 says, I know Abraham my servant. He will command his children in my ways. So everybody, before Abraham gave them gifts and sent them forth, he had taught them the ways of God. And when they left Abraham, they knew the ways of God and they kept his oracles. The reason God walked with Israel, because he's the child of promise, not because they were the only ones that knew the ways of God. The same counsel Reuel came and gave to Moses, that you overburden yourself. He said, get from among you captains of thousands, of hundreds and of 50 that will help you bear the body. Was the same thing God came and told Moses. The only thing with God's equation was that it was not a mechanical act, it was a spiritual act. So God took his spirit and put upon them. Are we together? So these guys understand priesthood. Balaam is also of the descendant of Abraham, and they know priesthood. It was Balaam that came by an order of priesthood that dwarfed the sight of Moses. If not because God intervened, Balaam would have violated the priesthood of Moses by wisdom. Balaam, if you study the scriptures, you'll be amazed what are there, what you will see. If God had not intervened, the things Balaam would have done on the mountain would have compromised Israel. But when he climbed the mountain and he looked at Israel, he knew that there was a wisdom that Moses had downloaded that kept the integrity of Israel. He said, Israel is seated in their tabernacles according to the patterns of the spirit. There was a pattern that they sat according to their tribes. So that order, that sequence that they sat, it made it possible for God to alight among them. So he said, I hear the sound of a king. The voice of a king is among them. So the way Moses preserved Israel was to make sure they sat in an order that could host the glory of God. So when Balaam went up, he knows priesthood. So he knows that because the voice of a king is in their midst, it will be hard to deal with them. So he went another way by divination. And he wanted to do something to make them compromise the structure that Moses had set in motion. So even Balaam understood the ways of the spirit. They are all descendants of Abraham. They are different tribes that Abraham formed. God chose Israel and they kept the covenants of righteousness because it's a nation. So Jesus God deals with nations. And that is why he calls men, because men pioneer nation. To start a country, people gather together and agree on a philosophy. And on the strength of that philosophy, they build a country. But when God wants to bet a nation, it is by travail. Countries are bettered by agreement. Nations are bettered by travail. You journey into the womb of that spirit until you see a dimension. The dimension you bring becomes an order. So in Romans chapter 9 verse 4, he says, who are the Israelites? He didn't talk about their land. They were living in a country, but they are a people. Who are the Israelites? He said, unto whom pertaineth the glory. These are the things, the articles that Abraham entered into in his dealings and interaction with God. This is what defines the body of people called Israel. He said, unto whom pertain the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. These are spiritual substances that Abraham caught in the spirit. And every time a man accepts the seduction of a spirit and he catches something, there are a people that will be born by reason of that which is caught. That becomes a nation. And I said, the greatest honors in Zion is to bring us to a point where we are able to keep the things we catch in God until in the regeneration, these things are wielded to us as inheritances. When the devil begins to seduce you away from God, he's actually robbing you from an eternal investment. Because the things that are real, they are not in time, they are in the spirit. That's why the blessings of God are spiritual. But when you touch something that is immortal, one of the byproducts you see will be in the natural. But that thing in the natural is a lie. It is momentary, it is time-based. It is given to empower you to fulfill much more of that which is immortal. So when God comes, he brings a man into himself so the man can find something. But there are many people who are pastors and prophets. They've not found anything in God. Paul said, what did our father Abraham find? So when the spirit begins to seduce you, he's bringing you to a place where you can find something in God. And when you find something in God, you pioneer an order. That order may not be a system where people are enslaved, but that order becomes the identity of a tribe. And they begin to do that, and it begins to facilitate and fast track the will and the purposes of God. So for example, you may walk with God and God gives you the ability to sponsor kingdom. If you don't understand that God is building nations, you will think, as good as it is, you will think it's about sponsoring things and be recognized. So when you give, you want the man of God to say it publicly and say, Brother A, give us 100 million. Please, let's celebrate God for Brother A's life. And then you're like, it's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. But a man who understands that God builds nations, what he does is, the moment he begins to do that, he begins to disciple others to do the same. And before he leaves this world, there will be a generation of people that their burden is to look for kingdom investments, is to look for kingdom needs, is to look for kingdom bodies, and they sponsor it. The more these people do this, it becomes a signature in the spirit that will be attributed to that man. And for eternity, that man will become a dynasty in God. This is what God wants to achieve. And that's why God seduces men. And that's why conferences like this are put together, so that people can come and learn the ways of God. And as they learn the ways of God, they look inward and find out, what exactly has God committed to me? If God has not committed anything yet, it means you are still at the stage of wooing. And you will journey from the stage of wooing to the stage of consecration until you enter encounters. It's when you enter the realm of encounters that you will receive a marching order for your generation. Many times our journey doesn't bring us far enough to reach the mountain of encounters. And if you have not had an encounter with that spirit, it will be hard to have direction in life. It will be hard to have conviction over anything. Your life will float, and you will look at what is raining, and you will keep joining what is raining until you leave this world. You will never have root in the spirit. Encounters is a place in the spirit that proves that a man have enjoyed sufficient separation from the world system. So he's entering into another civilization where he will be told what he will take back into the world system. If you study the scriptures, you will discover that everybody that made a mark had an encounter of some sort with the Spirit of God. Because it's not a product of intelligence. Your wisdom, your intelligence, your ideology, you picked all of them from the world system. Some of them you picked from the university. Some of them you picked from the families around you. Some of them you picked from the market. You coordinate them together and you call them ideologies. You call them philosophy. But you picked them. The only way you can receive a pure knowledge that has not been corrupt is when that spirit alters it into your spirit man. And when you come down, that encounter becomes the beginning of your journey. You heard our Father in the Lord yesterday said the spirit spoke to him for 9 seconds. And 9 seconds have defined 18 years of his life. That's the power of encounters. Your life have no definition until you've begun to encounter the spirit. The things it tells you will define your life. It will define your essence. It will bring meaning to everything you do. But you have to respond to the wounds, the promptings, the summons of that spirit. You have to keep the demands of consecration of that spirit until you reach the mountain of encounter. It took Moses 40 years. He said for 40 years he was grazing in the wilderness until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Until he came there, Israel was in captivity. God had uttered his voice by prophetic decree that they would be in bondage for 400 years. They had already exceeded 400. God was not moved. If you like, come and say, come on, God doesn't exist. Was it not him that says 400 years? Has he not passed 400 years? God is a liar. He doesn't change anything. He was not elected. Your whole generation can revolt and reject him. At the end, you'll discover you made the wrong choice. He will still be there. And another generation will come. Somebody else will find him. And he will come back and begin what he was doing. And your generation that rejected him will be forgotten. And then you will discover with this spirit he can't lose. So your greatest wisdom is cooperation. years Moses was moving until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and God began to tell him, go back to Egypt. You wanted to use your ability and your mind. You can't kill all the Egyptians. Even if you were to kill them, you can't kill them. And even if you kill them, what I want to do is not in Egypt. So there were a lot of deficiencies, there were a lot of knowledge gaps. What you will do is that you will go back to Egypt and carry them from Egypt to the land that I will show you. So the thing was not about taking the economy of Egypt. It was not about taking the land of Egypt. I have something in my mind. Your job is to carry them out. Without that encounter, I would not have known. And secondly, this hand they are using to kill Egyptians is deficient. How many will you kill? What will I do? What are you carrying in your hand? It's a rod. Drop it down. And the rod of Moses became the rod of God. And Moses began another order because he had an encounter. Let me give you a list of few persons that had encounters and the deficiencies they were separated from. And then I will tell you three things that will happen to you when you begin to have an encounter. And then we'll trust God for something. Abraham's encounter separated him from idolatry. They were a people of darkness. They had priesthood in darkness. That encounter was what separated him from idolatry. Moses' encounter delivered him from the forces of Egypt. You know, the Bible said Moses was terrorized when Pharaoh rose against him. There are many things you can't stand against in Ghana unless you have an encounter. If you think it's about zeal and boldness, when the horrors of the spirit of this land rises, you now discover that your boldness is a function of your soul, and your soul will bend. So Moses stood up, I will deliver Israel, until Pharaoh rose with wrath. Moses ran. He didn't know where his boldness was, because it was not born in the spirit. Our daddy will tell us that anything not born in the spirit will be dwarfed when the spiritual thing appears. He ran. So that encounter delivered him from the fear of the forces of Egypt. The Bible said he saw him that was invincible. Daniel had encounters with God that delivered him from the corrupting influence of Babylon. So Daniel was pure in Babylon. They said they sought an offense against him and found none except in his worship to his God. So he was perpetually locked up to God. And that was how he led and brought direction to Israel in captivity without corruption. According to Bible history, Daniel served in Babylon for 65 years. Samuel was delivered from the forces of naivety. You know, when you are a child, there are many things God wants to do but can't be achieved. He said the child Samuel served before the Lord, but he was a child until encounters began to come. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21, and he said the Lord revealed himself again to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So it gave him a wisdom that was superior to everything that his age constituted as a disadvantage for him. And he grew in the strength of that encounter. Jeremiah was held down by fear until an encounter showed up, and all of a sudden the word entered his bones like fire. Even when he didn't want to speak, he couldn't keep quiet. Isaiah was held down by thrones, a messianic prophet, but could not utter the oracles of God because there were thrones that held him down. But he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Something changed. And instantly began to give the messianic prophecies. So long as those thrones existed, there was no way he could deliver what was in his spirit for his generation. This is why when a spirit begins to woo a man, it is in his opinion, his best interest, to follow that spirit and to shut down every force that negates the wooing of that spirit. Because your deficiencies cannot be swallowed up unless you come into the radar of the spirit that is wooing you. It is when those deficiencies are swallowed up that you appear in your brightest colors. What you call your advantage in the natural can become a big disadvantage. Charisma can become a disadvantage, because it will make you not to be sensitive to the movement of the spirit. Until you see that spirit, you will never know that your charisma is your greatest body. Meanwhile, in the natural, it can open few doors, it can bring few commendation, but you can't do spiritual business, because that charisma, it is the light of God that will reveal to you the way to bring administration to it without it being a body. That your zeal to make things happen, if you don't see or have an encounter with the spirit that has the oracle of your destiny, it may become a burden, and it will make you to misfire many times, and you will walk in error for a long time. Things that should bring glory to God, you will destroy them because you are zealous, and your zeal cannot be coordinated because you've not had A knowledge that shows you the things that matter. You don't understand spiritual priorities and precedences. Your zeal will become a body. So those drawings of God, they bring us the first equipping for kingdom advantage. And the way it is done is on the mountain of encounter. Paul was a terror to the church. He was supposed to be a builder of the church, but he was tearing the church down until an encounter came. And he realized he was a wise master builder, not a terrible destroyer of the church. Without that encounter, his energy, his zeal, and his ability would have negated the requirements of his destiny. What he was doing, he thought he was serving God. He thought he was pleasing the Lord because he excelled. Of all his brethren, he excelled in the ways of God. But he channeled his energy in the wrong direction because encounters had not come to give him perspective. Imagine how mightily gifted our Father is. If God had not told him, the youth. By this time, I'm sure he would have had a church in the United Kingdom. Because there would have been many sponsors. What are you doing in Africa? Come. But the youth kept him on campus for 18 years. The power, the utterance would have become what the devil will use to take you off track. So encounters come to show you the direction that you must go. Encounters come to remove your weaknesses and to equip you for destiny. And when these encounters begin, they begin to shape you. It's when they begin to shape you that you begin to enter into sonship. Because the business of kingdom is for sons. If a man is not a son, he can't do kingdom business. You become a child of God when you receive the life of God. But receiving the life of God does not make you a son. Sonship is not the possession of the life of God. It's a part of it. Sonship is actually the bearing of the image of the Father. Sons are those that have borne the image of the Father, not those that have the life of God. In Luke chapter 3 verse 38, he said, and Adam was the son of God. Genesis 1:26, he said he made him in his image and his likeness. Remember, Adam did not even have the life of God, but he was a son. In Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1 to 3, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his son. What is the son? Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Because that was the plan of God, that kingdom should be committed to sons. That's why in Romans chapter 8 verse 29, he said he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the son. It's beautiful to have the life of God, but you must journey into sonship in order to possess things in the kingdom and to be handed things that are of God. The reason we are weak is because they taught us eternal life and they didn't teach us how to grow in it until we take upon ourselves the image of God. So the guy is in church for 10 years and he has been fornicating for 10 years, but he has eternal life. He has eternal life. And then they are arguing that he's forever saved, because they think it's all about being saved. No. When we go to Zion, I will show you four things that God gives to those that bear his image and keep his works. That's where I'm going to this evening. Because corruption will eat the soul of this nation unless men rise who can bear the image of God. We will be millions in the church as Christians with eternal life, no argument. But when you come to look for sons, you may not find. Because when sons come, the proof that sons have appeared is that kingdom legislations begin. Kingdom business is the heritage of sons. The establishment of the dominion of God is the business of sons. Even creation is aware. That's why creation will hide their powers until the sons appear. If sons don't appear, even creation will lock up their powers. The trees you see have powers. The stars have powers. There are powers that are held up in the constellation, but they are waiting for sons to appear. The star in the galaxy is not just for light. It's not just for seasons. They are weapons that sons use for kingdom. But they will lock their powers until sons appear. That's why I say the earnest expectation of creation, it waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are yet in travail. There is the bondage of corruption, but they are waiting. They are not struggling, but they are waiting. Because when sons come, that's when you will know what the stars can do. It was David that said, "Cursed be the mountains of Gibeah. Why did you stand in the day that the Lord's anointed was cut off?" So David knew that mountains are not just stones that are in territories. David knew that mountains are weapons that sons use in times of war. The Bible spoke of Deborah. He said the stars fought against Sisera from their courses. So stars don't just give light at night. They are not just constellations. They are weapons of sons. Joshua stood and commanded the sun to stand still. We need light to kill our enemies today. And the sun cooperated with him because they needed to destroy a tribe. Because the sun is a weapon. But creation, we wait until sons appear. That's when you will discover that water is not only for drinking. If you are not a son, you will not know that water also has the power to cast out devils. But when a son carries water and sprinkles it on a demoniac, the devil will flee, because that is a son. So the water will unlock its powers. You will not know that even the air you breathe is a weapon until you become a son. When you become a son, the people may attack you and you blow. And then you will discover the powers that are locked up in the air, even the one you breathe. You will not know that the breath on your nose is not just for life, because we don't live by blood. We live by the word of the Lord. The air on your nose is beyond for survival. The air on your nose can become a weapon. You know, they locked Jeremiah under the pit. They thought he would die of suffocation. He began to breathe God. He doesn't breathe oxygen. He began to breathe God. And he was there prophesying from the pit. You can't do kingdom until you become a son. Ah! When sons appear, gates open on their own accord. Gates open on their own accord. But there is a journey into sonship. He said, "We all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord." He said, "We are metamorphosed. We are changed into the glory that we see. We are transformed. We are transubstantiated into that glory." So the first thing we must do in order to receive the empowerment required for better kingdom when we have entered encounter is to keep the ways of sons. The ways of sons. What are the things that unlocks the powers of a son? In Remnant here, we are a people of prayer. Because we've come to realize that praying and prayers is one of the ways of sons. And you discover in this kingdom that babes don't pray. Go to the typical church system and call for prayer. The prayer meetings are the smallest. But we all our meetings are prayer meetings. It's actually boring. If prayer is not much. But if you go to the typical systems we have, even when you come for VG, they have drama for 2 hours. Why will you wake up at night to come and watch drama? The Lord, and to bring the Spirit of God. But this one is a byproduct of the one done inside. And Paul began to teach Timothy how to journey in the ministry of the world. And in 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. You have to read this book until you become acquainted to it. So it becomes your language. It becomes your thought pattern. Until even consciously you are talking the word. Unconsciously rather, you are talking the word. You are thinking the word. You are doing the word. That's what reading does. Is to make the word become the environment of your thoughts. You wake up. I read the story of E.W. Kenyon. Nobody died in his church. At least you have to be 78 to 80 years. If you die, he will wake you up. A man of God came to his ministry, a healing evangelist. And when he finished, very known, released the power of God for healing. Say, if you are come for testimonies, nobody came out. For a second, the man almost thought he had lost his ministry. What happens? They now told him, there are no sick people here. Excuse me? He said, no. The reason there's no testimony is not because your anointing is not potent. We don't have sick people here. That anointing is relevant on the crusade ground. But E.W. Kenyon, even in the bathroom, a Bible is open. He had scriptures open in every part of his house. If he enters the garden, there's a book, there, a Bible open there. Every part of the house, the Bible is open. As he comes, he looks one, he's talking. So a point came, he talks scriptures as his way of life. When he wants to relax, he's meditating on scriptures. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. He was not the light, but he came that through him all men might see the light. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Sons, but he just talks scripture. That's how he has fun. So a point came. E.W. Kenyon began to talk to bones. He was the one that brought the dimension of growing legs that are maimed. He said, leg, come out. Even bones began to hear him. I heard about Smith Wigglesworth. He doesn't go 25 minutes without reading one verse. If he's traveling, every 25 minutes, if he forgets, he will open and read one. He says, it's never a waste. I read the story of Kenneth E. Hagin. He read the New Testament 150 times before he started evangelism. And he could recite to 2/3 of the New Testament. You think they are anointed and just anointed. You say, I receive the mantle of Smith Wigglesworth. I receive the mantle of Kenneth Hagin. That mantle was trapped by scriptures. They sat on scriptures until scriptures became the breath on their nostrils. It's the way of songs. Until their subconscious was dominated by scripture. The reason we have Facebook results is because we have dominated by Facebook. What you do with Facebook and WhatsApp, if you replace it with the Bible, your life will change in 3 months. Without an apostle or a prophet visiting you. The word. Jeremiah 15:16. I found thy word, and I did eat them. They became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. In Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 23, he said, my son, attend to my words. Give thine ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thy heart. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. He said, they are life to them that find them, flesh to all their bones. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it, the life. They are the issues, the boundaries of life. You can't enter into the circumference where life dwells until the word of God becomes your philosophy. So when you enter there, anything you do flows with life. So even if somebody is deaf and you say, open life, we enter. We are church people, but we are not a people of the world. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. By every word. So what you do your daily business with most is the word of God. I read about John Wesley. Wakes up every day 3 hours before he starts anything. So if he knows he wants to wake up and start by 6, his day by 6, then he must give 3 hours before 6. He said the day is too short, so I give 3 hours to the world. I heard about Billy Graham. Every day, 3 Psalms and 1 Proverbs. And without miracles, he gathered stadia. In his last crusade, they were streaming to over 18 stadia. Cripples were not rising, but the efficacy of the word was too strong. And what was he preaching? The cross for 68 years. So you can't come and say, is he only this message he knows? It's not about the message, it's the witness of the spirit that backs it up. Because he was too choked, he was too saturated. He can't think outside of the world. I heard a man of God, he sat on the word of God, meditating on the word until the time for the meeting passed. Meditating on Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He was going for a healing meeting, but he is more interested in the word than in the meeting. The meeting passed. Meanwhile, it's not because they forgot. The ushers that came to tap him, if they come close, the power will throw them down. The energy that he was generating, the vibrations that the man was generating, you couldn't come as close as 10 meters. If you draw close, what is generating will throw you down. So they tried to reach him, they couldn't, for 3 hours, meeting finished. I went for Sadhu Savaraj conference, and on one of the sessions, we waited for 4 hours. The man didn't come out. It was, they had to substitute another minister. You know, there are many ministers on earth. There are many ministers on what? On earth. We are many on earth. That's why you are struggling going to churches and say, if your Wednesday is free, I can come and preach. Or ministers on earth labor for invitation. Waited for 4 hours. And when he came out, he said, he's very sorry that while he was meditating in the room, Isaiah came to him. The Isaiah that you have been laboring with and you have not finished reading. He said, sorry, Isaiah just came to him and they were talking. I didn't hear anything he preached that day. I assure you, what is this? And I started wondering, why did I come in his generation? If we go to heaven with all these generals that are in my generation, where will I appear? Where will I appear? It's the way of songs. The Bible said in Genesis 18 verse 1 that Abraham sat at the door of the tent. When you say sit, is the posture of meditation. And he was ascending. He was ascending. He opened his eyes. He saw 3 men. He knew they were gods. The Bible called them men, but Abraham saw God and invited them to the house. That is what it means to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, is to do business with the glory that is locked in the world. As you journey in meditation, a point come, the portals begin to open and you travel into dimensions in light so illuminating that when you come out, Everything you see re-engineers your world. It's the way of Psalms. Church is just a place to give you instruction. Life in the spirit is bigger than a meeting of 3 hours. But the system of this world, we want to make you keep running and pursuing things all the time, so you will never wait. Meanwhile, in the spirit, we don't run by acceleration. When we begin to wait, then we are already mounting up with wings. But the world wants you to keep running in pursuit of things until you lose sight of the things that constitute your true advantage. The way of Psalms. That's where you can behold Him as He is. You look upon Him. We, with the Holy Ghost, we are struggling with this thing. The men who did not have the Holy Ghost, they knew how to labor with God until they entered economies that were forbidden for their generation. The Bible said in John chapter 8 that Abraham, your father, saw my day and he rejoiced in it. How was he able to look back in time until he saw when Jesus would manifest? Meanwhile, the people in that generation saw Jesus, they didn't recognize him. They called him carpenter. But Abraham, that was not in that generation, saw the Lord and rejoiced greatly in him. Because he knew how to travel. He knew how to journey in God. The rapture you and I are waiting for, the Bible said, Enoch, who is 7 after Adam, he walked with God and he was not, because God took him. We want to open new ministries and preach rhema that we have never experienced. That's why there's problem. That's why the arrogance is much. Because we think it's all about talking. No labor in the spirit. I'm showing you this because most of you will receive terrible impartations from this conference. But what will you do with it? Because these are spiritual investments. If you receive it and do nothing with it, what will you tell the one that gave it to you? Because he said the one that received one talent went and buried it. He didn't produce results with it. And he cast him out. What will you do? The way of songs. The third is the way of fasting. Daddy will say it. He says to empty flesh and stock the spirit. So fasting is not just food. It's not just abstinence from food. It's actually abstinence from everything that competes with your desire for the presence. Sons are temperate. They are separated. They are gathered unto the Lord. He said, him that striveth for the mastery, he is temperate in all things. That's the order of fasting. The ability to tame your vessel. The ability to bring your vessel under subjection so that the excellencies of God can manifest through you. And many times, the Holy Ghost will schedule you on different kinds of fast. Sometimes it will be a Sabbath, a fast from your phones, a fast from even seeing the sun. Stay indoors. In 1 week, you have visited 20 friends. How can you change your world? You will be like them, obviously. Because most of the gossip, you picked it up from the places you visited. So if you stop visiting there for 1 year, they will reduce. And the next time you go, you will no longer have chambers to accommodate gossip. So Jesus said, fasting is a when. And that when is very frequent. These are the cultures that have been lost in the body of Christ. So the prophet fasted on behalf of the congregation. And then he comes to make prophetic decrees. The apostle studies on behalf of the congregation. So he comes with all the rhema and the mystery. And we don't have territorial impact, because the prophet is not in the market. The prophet is only on the pulpit. The apostle is only on the pulpit. But the design is for the prophet to dominate the market and the government. How can we not have prophets in the legislative arm of government? How can they give direction to the nation? Blind men gather and leading a nation. That's why we have journeyed into doom. But God is restoring nations, because prophets will become senators. If you check your life, to what degree do these activities dominate you? It's a proof that you really had an encounter and that you are making the most of it. He said, Elijah is a man subject to like passion, just as we are. He was like you and I. But something happened to Elijah. And he said, his choices were changed, his desires were altered. And the only thing Elijah focused on was praying. And he prayed earnestly. He was able to lock the heavens and to open the heavens. He had been re-engineered from within. When you begin to engage these neighbors in order to keep the demands of your encounters, then you will win the battle of life. The journey of life is not from birth to death. The journey of life is not a migration from when you were born to when you die. The journey of life is actually a migration from purposelessness to purpose. The journey of life is actually a migration from mortality to immortality. It's a migration from a state of an alien to a state of fellowship with God. The journey of life is actually the birthing of divinity in a man, to a point where that man can manifest divinity and establish the will of that immortal spirit. And if we don't get there, everything we received from God was a waste. And trust me, God will make demands. But when a man receives these investments of divinity and makes the most of them, when he gets to Zion, certain things with him. They are the articles of eternal reward. I will show you a few of them in the next 5 minutes, and then we will pray. You know, most times when we say things like commit yourself to prayer, keep praying, it looks as if you are telling a generation to become useless. No. The truth is, when you are committed to these things, that's when the things you struggle with will become your slaves. You struggle in your job because you don't pray. If you begin to press into God, what you spend 10 hours to achieve in your job, you will use minutes to achieve it. Because that thing that is a crisis among men. You have gone to fellowship with spirits. So the things that trouble men can't trouble you. You will excel in your job when you are committed to this divine thing. That's why Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom, every other thing that the heathens are seeking will be added to you. So it's not a call to idleness, to uselessness. No, it's actually an empowerment to return and change the systems of the world. Who told you prayers will make you fail your exams? Prayers will actually give you the marking scheme to the exam. It will make you of a superior mentality. It will give you a sound mind, because you are interacting with where things are created. He said Israel knew the acts of God. Moses knew the ways of God. You come to where the ultimate intelligence operates from. Where the spirit that gathered the universe together, where they operate from. How can you come to faith physics when you go to where the foundation of the earth was sculpted? Where do the laws of physics derive from? Has it not occurred to you that most of your departments, the people on first class, some of them are fellowship presidents because they know how to manage their time? Unless a man begins to pursue things and become excessively zealous, if he follows his spirit, he can't fail. He will maximize this realm. When a spiritual man is failing, he's pursuing something that God is not leading him. But we must rise and we must prevail. But these are the articles. We like new meetings, new conferences, meet new men of God. But the men of God were not made like that. The leaders of this realm, of this world, were not made like that. They labored in the spirit. When a man gives himself to these things, he does not only excel in life, he also excels in the life to come. And if you study the scriptures, you will realize the life to come compared to this life. It was Paul that said, if only in this world we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. We must have hope in the life to come for this life to count. Many are already joining in a path of absolute irrelevance in the world to come. So irrelevant that even worshiping God is a burden for them. Meanwhile, the civilization that is coming, the way of those creatures is to worship God. The Bible said the 24 elders, they fell on their faces, cast their crown, and they worshipped him. He said the four beasts, they worship him night and day, forever and ever. And then you are here struggling with worship. I'm not talking about doing something that attracts the world. Even worship is a burden for you. So how do you exist in that world? The things we predominantly do, they don't exist in the world we are going to. So are we sure that's the world we are traveling to? Everything that is a culture of Zion, you don't find pleasure in doing it. You will really learn a lot of things if you get to heaven. This is why in 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul said, I beat my body and bring it under subjection. I beat it because this body, it has interacted with a lot of spirits. It has interacted with a lot of energy. So I will have to beat it so it doesn't make me become a castaway. It's a terrible thing to go to heaven and you are shown this is the throne where you are supposed to sit if you kept this demand. This was what God asked you to achieve in time, and if you did it, this was your throne. But now, by reason of the law of perdition, you can't sit there. So the Bible said when the judgment was passed, Hades was cast into the lake of fire. Every judgment had been completed. He still says some people were in outer darkness. Because if you are not where you were destined to be, it will become darkness. Imagine if they told you that you were supposed to sit by Paul. But when you came, you left that assignment and you did something else. And that thing you did, this is where you should be. And then you are in heaven forever and ever. You look up. Forever. Forever and ever you look up. You see where you are supposed to. Let me show you so you know it's scriptural. One of the things you inherit when you journey out of this realm, when this age is over, is that you inherit thrones. in Matthew 19:26-28. See what the Lord said. These are the true riches of the kingdom. And there are many men that have aligned with their thrones in time, and they are changing things on the strength of that throne. He said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So, from the context, it means this throne is not for you because you are born again. Because the ground upon which this reward is predicated is for those who have forsaken all things. So Jesus is answering the question of forsaking all things. So the men that enjoy thrones in Zion are not people who are born again. It's people who advance kingdom to a point where they forsook all things. In Acts 15:26, he said concerning Paul and Barnabas, these be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. That depth of service have a height in Zion. And he said to them, very, very, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's a level where kingdom will bring you, and it will make demands on you. The Bible you are reading, you are not reading it because it's the word of God. You are reading it because certain persons forsook even their families. They were burnt to the stake. And some ran with one copy of the Bible for months until they took it to another city, handed it to another person, and they caught them and killed them. But the Bible getting to the next generation was more important to them than their lives. That's where the foundation of Christianity came from. Where men could die so that the integrity of God's word can be preserved. So that a copy of scriptures can reach another family so that they can hear about God. The same Bible that is under our pillow that we can't read. People died for it to reach us. Because the idea was to burn every copy so that no one exists. And in your word, you would have been trying to suggest what God looks like. He said, for those who forsook all things, he said, they will sit with him on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's a place of reward. And martyrdom is not necessarily your head being cut off. Martyrdom is actually self-denial. You deny yourself every day for the excellency of the kingdom of God and of his life. He said in Matthew 26:39-42, he said, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by, yet not my will but thine. Those are the people that inherit thrones. The guy that allows everything goes and come to confess and receive forgiveness is a joker. He will get to heaven, but he will stand. Did you not read? When you read scripture, you see every angel that is sitting on the throne. They are matters of glory. There are certain rewards that make you stand in the presence. They didn't teach us. That's why we don't understand the honor of service in the kingdom. The same scripture is in Luke 22:25. But I don't have the time to go through that. And I told you yesterday, some will inherit nations. Nations will be given to them as inheritance. So when you are on earth, the things you should contend for, my brother, is not a good job. A good job is important. But don't let a good job take the place of God. Because what you are actually giving up is eternal. It's not a good job. What you pursue is not a good house. If you get the kingdom, those ones will become byproducts. He said he has not called the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. Church is not a place where you come to teach people how to make money. and it becomes the teaching from January to December. And we have been teaching people how to make money for many years, yet no Christian has appeared in the top richest men in the world, at least top 10. And from January to December, we are teaching the art, the mystery of wealth creation. And we never make it to the top, at least according to human standard. That is to show you we are not the best teacher in that subject. The subject we should teach is life. He said we preach Christ and Him crucified. The subject we teach is kingdom, because this one is alien to this world. And I'm not saying it's not good to teach these things, but when they become predominant emphasis, flesh will take over people. Lust will become their God, because it will become a pursuit of those things. And having those things will be the proof that your Christianity is working. So a man is a big pastor if he has a Jeep. It's a proof that the word of God is working in his life. But that man can't cast out devils. The devils don't know him, but a Jeep validates his office. Because we have made prosperity, materialism rather, the subject of our emphasis. Who are the men that can inherit nations? When you have not caught anything in God, you have not mirrored it for a generation to follow, and you have been a Christian for 10 years, yet there is nothing about you that 5-10 people will say is because of you that we learned this thing in God. It means the inheritance of nations will elude you. I told us yesterday how nations are born. God sends men to countries, but He makes nations from men. So most of us are sent to Ghana, but there are nations locked in our wombs. Can we travel to bet them? Because if we don't, we can't be part of those who inherit nations. In Revelation 2:26, it said, they that overcome and keep my works, I will give power over the nations. There are places in Zion. This is why we strive. This is one of the reasons why you will tell yourself, I rather fail the exam than compromise. Because if I fail, I will go back to learn and appreciate the dignity of labor. I am failing not because God has not favored me, but I didn't read. I will go back and read, take the shame and write it again. Because if I compromise this exam, it's not even a guarantee that I will succeed in life. But what I've done is that I've denied myself the possibility of inheriting something that is immortal. And my life does not begin and end here. I'm traveling somewhere. So I will not spend what should be my advantage where I'm going to here, which is temporary. Imagine I'm coming to Ghana to live for 1 year. And the night before I come to Ghana, I throw a party and spend all my money. And then when I come to Ghana, from accommodation is a challenge. And then for 1 year in Ghana, I'll be begging. Because I threw one night party a day before coming to Ghana. That's how some people are living their lives. They squander eternity in time. They that overcome and keep my works. What are the works of God that He has committed to your hands? Some of you is prayer. He said, pray for the nation of Ghana. But that work I've suffered. Because every day you go to bed with a full stomach. So it's a challenge to wake up. And you don't know that there is the destiny of a nation is resting on the powers of your intercession. Samuel said, I will not sin against God by not praying for you. Because praying for Israel was a work committed to His hand. Everything done in time is an intelligence designed to give you a reward in eternity. And one of the rewards is the powers over the nations. another inheritance in eternity is to be planted in the courts of God. To be planted in the courts of God. You know that even among the angelic realm, not everyone is in the throne room. There have been angels littered in many places in heaven. Not all the angels stand in the presence. There are a few people that will be planted. I told us yesterday that at the end of time, the Bible speaks of the tabernacle of heaven descending into the earth. Okay, maybe we should read it. Revelations 21, 1 to 3 and 7. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will. No, read from verse 1 to 3, then 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Go ahead. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So the people that live in the tabernacle of heaven, whom he is their God and are his people, are they that overcome it. And in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 13, he said he planted them in the court of his father. The nations are not in the courts of God. It's in Revelation 22, verse 2, that it tells us that the trees that grew in the street of that realm, they are going to be for the healing of the nations. So to be planted, that was why James's mother prayed that his sons should sit by the left and the right. He said, no, these ones are not gifts. These ones are end. They are inheritances that are bequeathed on account of the nature and the texture of a man's walk with God. These are the things we labor for. That by all means, in the ages to come, we will still participate with God in carrying out divine assignment.
If you were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com. to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.